A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And we've got a Kim and Jen episode for you today. Jen, what's going on?
Well, just to start off, I just want to first off say there is a whooshing sound behind Kim that we cannot identify. We have spent, with all of our technical prowess, we have spent the last couple of minutes being like, I don't know, is it a fan? Also, housekeeping, a lot of stuff going on in the Patreon this month. We did a special listener questions episode. We have a lot of blogs going up there, and we'll be having another live event probably in July. So we had one in June, and we'll have one in July.
And I just want to add, for those of you who are on the fence about joining the Patreon, we absolutely discuss things we would not discuss in the larger podcast. And for that alone, it might be worth it.
If you want more of us,
if you want more, and if you think we don't go far enough, which seems unlikely,
seems highly unlikely. And also, we get it. If this is enough, that's fine. No pressure. we're happy you're here just for this. But if you want to join, we've actually been pretty consistent with it, which I'm pretty excited about. And I find miraculous from my own way that I do things. So how am I? I'm fine. I did this morning. I was just scrolling through fucking Instagram and I found this thing, which was like, how old are you really? And I'm a sucker for how old are you really. I will look, I will do anything. I will take a 50 question quiz. Like, what is your body's real age? Anyway, this was a balance test, and you have to cross your hands over your chest, and you have to hold one leg up and close your eyes. And how long can you stand like that? And I was like, this is going to be no problem. And I could do it for 3 seconds, and I'm 60, apparently.
Oh, my God. I never fill out those things because you have to give so much personal information.
Well, this was just it was somebody doing some reel, showing you the test. Mm-hmm. And then in the comment, I didn't have to fill out so much information.
Oh, okay, good.
But also, my identity's out. I'm always you can't get blood from a stone. Go ahead, take my identity. What do you want? Maybe you'll have a better time with it.
That's hilarious. It could work out for everyone.
Exactly. Go ahead. You'll do a better job.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
So that's all. I've been, I did the balance test. Nothing else. I'm solo parenting this week, which is actually kind of fun with a 13-year-old. We just have been in a groove together. And I've been admitting more of my fallibility to my child, which I think it's time. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing. I've been admitting how lazy I am to my child. And they've been doing the chores. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I was like, oh, I don't feel like unloading the dishwasher. And Charlotte was like, oh, do it. And I was like, great.
Amazing. What do you think that's about?
I don't know. I think there's something going on at this age, at least for my kid. My kid wants to be a good person. Like, it is a really important thing for this kid. And they often feel like they're not, even though, you know, that's not a parenting methodology. Like, I'm always like, you're great. And one thing I think is that they really are seeing that they want to help people. Mm-hmm. And I'm giving them ample opportunity.
But I think it also, there must be something nice about a parent showing you not scary vulnerability, but like little vulnerability.
Yeah, Alex has been going out of town like a lot lately because he's got this, I mean, his book is doing really well and he's got a lot of book tour and he's been reporting some stories. Like, so he's just been traveling a lot and I've just been trying all kinds of new things in the parenting dynamic because I didn't want it to be so fraught and confrontational. So mm-hmm. like, I'm just trying to be more human with my kid and not try to sort of dominate, you know, or be like, mm-hmm. or like demand like, you know, respect, which is really like a power play in a lot of ways, yeah. you know? So it's been really fun. And it's been fun to just, I mean, not be scary vulnerable, not be like, we can't pay rent, which we can, but like nothing like that. But like to be like, oh, I don't feel like putting these towels away.
Yeah.
You know, and the kid's like, oh, okay, I'll do it. And then I've been equally helping them with things they don't feel like doing. So it's just been more of an equitable relationship. And I'm just trying it out this week. It'll probably won't work next week, but whatever, whatever.
But you parenting. Will have gotten a good week out of it anyway.
Exactly. Like a pleasant week. And tonight's a big sleepover. You know, it's just fun times over here. I'm going to make popcorn and M&Ms. Kids love that.
Popcorn and M&Ms together?
Yes, you just put it in a giant bowl.
Oh, that actually sounds pretty delicious.
It's really, it's one of my few kid tricks. Yeah.
That's funny. Speaking of kids.
Yes. Oh. How's your roommate? Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I read this morning that Al Pacino had a baby with his 29-year-old girlfriend. And I am curious how you feel about that. I explored my feelings a little.
Okay.
And I decided it's not, you know, in the end, whatever. He wants to be with a 29-year-old, shine on. But it's the having the baby. It's like the narcissism and the hubris of having a baby when you're 82 years old.
I am just like, okay, a couple of things. So first off, Robert De Niro just did this too. Like Robert De Niro admitted mm-hmm. in some interview recently, like I don't know whatever number of kids he has, but he like admitted in this interview, like he announced that he had another kid. Like instead of having four, he's five kids. And people were like, oh, and he was like, oh yeah, I just had a baby with like a, you know, whatever, a 27-year-old or whatever. I mean, I'm just like, how old is that sperm? Like, yeah. That's it. I'm like skeeved by their sperm being that. Like, I'm like, ugh. Like, not like skeeved in like, you know, when I'm 80, if I'm fucking an 80-year-old, whatever sperm. But I'm like, is this viable? Like, why is this, like, why, like, I mean, I guess, but there's like so much more risk of like so many problems with geriatric sperm. And it is like a hubristic thing. And it is just like, oh, yeah, I'm like, I'm virile forever. It's just kind of stupid. I hate it.
I don't understand. There's some, I'm going to get shit for saying this. The people who have lots of babies.
Mm-hmm. Your Nick Cannons. Yes.
Your
Elon Musks.
Yeah. Your Elon Musks. Like there's a pathology.
I mean, they certainly cannot show up emotionally for each of these children. And I know this just from having one that has a lot of, you know, each child has a lot of emotional needs and needs a lot of presence. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I guess they can have father roles, but also like Pacino, how long's he living to that kid's life? Eight?
No,
nine?
That kid, he gets to see that kid. I think the Onion headline is like, he lives long enough to see it graduate from kindergarten.
Yeah. Or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Graduate elementary school, you know, have a talent show, but like, it's in a way, it's just saying, well, I'm going to leave a kid with a dead father.
Yep.
And it's just being like, that's cool.
Yep. they just won't have that very primary relationship in their life.
So you're setting your kid up for like a massive, a known grief, yeah. like a known trauma.
Yeah. It just seems uncool to me.
I'm not into it. I'm not into it. And what, I mean, here's the thing. And I don't know what sex with an 80-year-old is like, because I have not had it. Right. I mean, honestly, I've only like in my 20s, I went up to 53 once and I was like, oh, that's enough.
That's enough reality.
That's enough. How active is that? Like, how is he? I guess Viagra.
I think that's the one word answer. Is it,
like, how is this even? Like, I know Charlie Chaplin did it too. Like, I don't know who else has children at 82, but like, how? I don't know. No judgment. I mean, but a little bit of judgment too, because I want you to really think about what it would be like to date somebody in their 20s right now.
I can't.
Like, really,
even imagine.
Seriously, like, have a child with somebody in their 20s.
Somebody like who will get none of your references.
No.
Not even close to your references, decades away from your references.
No, I brought up Kramer versus Kramer to a group of 25-year-olds recently. And it was just like, what the fuck are you talking about, lady? You know, even like your celebrity references are different. They know celebrities for different things than mm-hmm. you know celebrities for, you mm-hmm. know?
I also am very fascinated by like the people they resurrect, like mm-hmm. during COVID, Gen Zers got really into the Menendez brothers murder.
I mean, I'm really into that murder still, but continue.
And now they're really into the style of Carolyn Bessette Kennedy.
Fair. Yes. Also,
oh, shit,
also
great
me.
Style.
Also me. I think I was really interested recently in they're really interested in Christian Bale, but only in what's that murder? What's that movie where he plays it?
The Bret Easton Ellis book.
Yes, yes. American Psycho. Really interested in American Psycho. And I actually, fun fact, I actually was part of a pipeline that got a New York Magazine article written about this because it was all over my kids' Discord. And I wrote to a friend of mine who writes like Gen Z trend pieces. And I was like, hey, listen, these kids are into Christian Bale and American Psycho. Don't know why, but you know.
It's so funny.
It is funny. I mean, you know, I do whatever you're going to want to do. Like, ultimately, do whatever. It's not for me. I don't want to be with somebody. I can't fathom being in a relationship with somebody that young. Now, I can imagine having sex with them. Like, that seems fun. Like, all their nice, supple skin and their new bodies. Like, yay.
Yeah, I was watching – Paul's been watching Girls. It's, like, quickly become one of his favorite shows of all time.
Okay.
And Adam Driver was topless in a scene last night. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I remember that. But I still wouldn't have sex with a 29-year-old because they don't know what they're doing yet.
I think it depends on the 29-year-old.
True.
I think it depends on the 29-year-old, how much they've seen, how much they've done. A 29-year-old is not a 21-year-old.
No, that is true. It's an almost 30-year-old. You can be skilled and, you know, a skilled and empathetic lover by the time you're 29, I guess.
Totally. But, you know, I do think I, you know, and it's clearly with men and with women, I think, too. I think so, but if, with women, you cannot have the start over because there's a time stamp on your fertility. But I do think that for men dating women, I mean, it's tales as old as time, but I do think it's like, I am trying to recapture my youth. I want to feel mm-hmm. like what it felt to be that. And I get that entirely, you know, and I think that there are things you have to be careful of as you're getting older. Like Alex and I went out the other night. We were having like a really lovely night. We were sitting in a bar restaurant together and we were looking at the menu and deciding what we were going to order. And I was like, oh, I shouldn't get that because of my cholesterol. And like, it was like, it had been like the second or third, like old person thing I'd said, you know, like, oh, well, maybe because of my knee, we're not gonna like, whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I need to fucking slow my old person role here. Like, yeah. I don't have to talk about this shit. We don't have to have a 10-minute conversation about my cholesterol, because I do think that that sort of just starts moving you too far it's just like dwelling on it too much. You know what I mean? And you know, when you're talking to an old person, older or much older person, they will give you just a litany of like ailments. And it's just like it takes you 20 minutes to have a conversation about anything else. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I could see just the sort of pulling the thread on that sweater. Like it's a lot. And I did think about that. And the other thing I've been thinking about is, somebody asked me the other day, like, there's a project I'm thinking about doing, a creative project. And they asked me, well, you know, you'd probably want to gear that toward older women. And I was like, well, wait, like, I know how to speak to people other than older women. So I do think it's also just like, I don't want to be siloed in one part of life. And I can't explore creatively other parts of life. I'm obsessed with only this part of life. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I do know what you mean.
So that's the stuff I've been thinking about. But, you know, I guess good for Al Pacino. I don't fucking know. Like, not good for that 29-year-old.
No, although she'll end up with a nice chunk of cash. So she won't have anything to worry about.
Right. Not that much investment, probably.
No. You know, I had this thing, speaking of age.
Yeah.
This thing happened the other night. As I've said, Paul's son Walden is spending the summer with us, and he's good friends with one of Paul's former students, Sophie.
Okay.
And they went out to dinner and came over afterward, came by, the two of them, and we played poker.
Fun.
It was fun. I'm a terrible poker player. I know nothing, but I'm so bad that I can actually get away with things because I am so bad.
You can bluff. Yeah.
I can bluff. Anyway, she's adorable, and she showed up and she was like, I was wearing sweatpants and a button down shirt. It was like, okay, after 8 o'clock, I was in my comfort wear.
Soft pants. Yeah, of course.
And soft pants. And so she came in and she's wearing like this little black mini dress, completely bare in the back, not tight. You know, she just looked cute. And I was like, oh my God, look at me and my sweatpants and my button down shirt. And I was like, you know what, Kim? She's 21.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing what she should be doing right now. If you were trying to get dressed so you looked really nice for when Sophie came over to your house in Brooklyn after 8 on a like Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments where it was just like, I felt so gross because she walked in, she looked so cute and her makeup was perfect and she's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Kim, why on God's green earth would you compare this way?
Yeah.
And it was very freeing. I was like, I'm not, that's a dumb thing to do.
Totally. I totally feel that. But, and also I had lunch this week with somebody who's, you know, 20 years younger than me and working in the same business that we've worked in. And I was really self-conscious showing up because she's super stylish and, you know, just super cool, like a super cool, like, you know, 30-year-old. And I was feeling really self-conscious about the way I looked. I was like, oh God, I look kind of old. I've never met this person in person. This is like an online friend, whatever. And then I was like, fuck it. This is what I look like. Like, I just have to be my age. Like, I can't hide it. Right. And then by the end of the conversation, we had this like really wonderful conversation about writing and editing and, you know, the longevity of, you know, a career as both. And I had this moment afterwards, she texted me this really sweet message, which was like, you know, I really look up to you. And I had this feeling of like, I need to model. Instead of being self-conscious, this is the time to stop this.
Yes.
And similarly, it's like, I need to model being right with myself.
Yep. Yep.
I need to model, you know, like just owning what I look like owning who I am.
Yeah. No, and not, I mean, because the self-loathing, it's transmissible.
Yes. And it's just like, the kids do look up to us. I mean, to some degree. I mean, not to like condescend or patronize them, but like, how much did I look up to, like, you know, I'm thinking of Sarah Nelson, who always just conducted, like always just held herself, like just like comfort in her body, was just cool. I loved her. I respected her. And she meant so much to my life. Mm-hmm. And part of that was her just moving through the world as who she was. She wasn't like, oh, do I look old? Do I, you know?
Yeah.
I don't. Anyway, I've been really thinking about the responsibility of modeling aging.
Yep. I think that's great. I think that's great. And I think that there, you know, the more different versions of aging that people see as they're coming up, the better equipped they'll be to deal with it when it's theirs, you know?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I do, you know, it's back to what you were saying about sitting at the table with Alex talking about your cholesterol. You know, it's just all of a piece.
It's all of a piece. And it's just like, you know, because I think about it, because obviously we have a podcast that talks about aging all the time. And, you know, there is a thing where it's just like, oh, fuck it. Who gives a shit? You know, like, I don't want to only be fixated on that, you know, like, you know, I mean, obviously we talk to our guests about all kinds of things and we talk about all kinds of things ourselves, but it was a thing I thought, like, and it's been a thing that like listeners have written to me particularly, like, you know, hey, this is depressing. Like, get over it. Like, you're just getting older. You're lucky you're not dead, you know?
But the thing is, I mean, I think that you can only know what you know. You said this the other day in our Patreon Zoom call. You can only know what your experience is. So, like, when I say to a 40-year-old woman who's complaining about her knees, just you wait.
Yes.
Because there's so much more shit. How is that 40-year-old supposed to know? She doesn't fucking know. She hasn't lived it yet. So the people who say to us, like, you should be, I mean, we both know, you know, we're both very aware of how lucky we are that the alternative isn't true. You know, we're happy to be getting older.
The death. Yeah. Very happy.
we're definitely happy with that. But it, you know, it's funny because I don't think about the fact that we talk about aging all the time.
Yeah, I don't either. It was just like of this piece because I don't think about it in my life very much, but it was just for me, it was like all of it. It was like, wait, am I focusing on this too much in my life outside of this podcast necessarily? Like,
right.
Because I do feel really different being 50. 50 feels a lot older than being in my 40s. It just does. Not in a bad way, but it just feels really different.
No, you're allowed to take note of these things in life. You know, you're allowed to, like, it's important to.
Yeah, I guess it's like observe but don't attach. It's the same old, same old, same old.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break from some ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
heads.
And we're back. What else?
Okay, I just started reading a book that I think I'm going to love.
Okay, tell me.
It's called The Sullivanians, Sex, Psychotherapy, and the Wildlife of an American Commune.
Oh.
By someone named Alexander Stille. Don't know. Anyway, the Sullivanians were a cult. I mean, he probably couldn't say that in the you know, title of the book. For legal reasons, but they were a cult that existed on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. This is very unusual for cults. Jessica Winter, who's been on the podcast, wrote a review of this book, which caused me to then go buy the book.
Okay.
And she made the point that cults usually don't exist in cities. They need isolation.
Yeah.
But this cult was right in the middle of Manhattan. They, at a certain point, I think there were like 800 members of this group, and they all it was started by this guy whose last name was Sullivan, Sullivanians. Mm-hmm. I can't get into everything they believe, but they didn't believe in the family. They thought that the family was a very destructive unit. So you didn't live with your children. The children all lived together. You lived with same-sex roommates.
Ooh.
And everybody had sex with everybody else, heterosexual sex. It was a very heterosexual cult.
These cults are always weird sex shit. Always, there's always like a sex element, and it's always the leader just getting all the sex.
And indeed, you know, this guy, you know, in Jessica's review of the book, she wrote, you know, he requested oral sex from seemingly every woman he encountered for 40 years. Just horrible. Fuck. Anyway, I went to college with a kid who grew up a Sullivanian.
No.
Yes. And was supposed to be like the daughter of the main guy who after the Sullivan guy dies, is this guy so-and-so Newton. I forget his last name.
Oh my God.
But the kids, nobody knew who their siblings were. Nobody knew who their parents were. And so now all of these people, all of these children of the Sullivanians are in touch with each other and doing DNA tests to figure out who they're related to.
Oh my God. Oh.
The whole thing is so juicy and like wrong.
Oh, I love that. That's exactly a genre I love. Juicy and wrong. It's like an amazing, amazing. Wait, I have a question for you. Do you think you could have been ever susceptible to a cult?
Yes.
Me too.
Me too. Not recently, but yeah, I think I would have been. I think I would have never thought I would be, but yeah, that could have happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Like sometimes in my life where I was like, well, this seems easier.
Well, I remember when I've talked about this the other day, when I was a majorette in high school. Like,
yes.
I didn't belong. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was like a Jewish kid at this very Christian, in this very Christian neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, if I'm a majorette, they'll give me a uniform. I can be like, I thought the whole thing, like that was the whole appeal, to just go belong to something. So yes, I think I would have been.
Yeah, I think so. It depends on the cult. It depends on the aesthetic. If it like looked really cool, I think I could have been really drawn in.
Like
I really
matching
do.
Nikes, you would have been one of them.
Yes. Or like, I forget what that cult was where they just all wore like shades of plum and burgundy. There was like a movie about a cult, a documentary about a cult a couple years ago. I think it was during the pandemic. Anyway, I'm forgetting. OSHA maybe? Anyway, continue.
Or the Source Family. You know, the Source Family?
Yes, yes, yes.
Because they own that. They own that restaurant. I forget, a famous vegetarian restaurant in LA, that one scene of, I think, Annie Hall.
Yes, 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 yes.
And they all wore white, and they were like, now they look insanely stylish.
I could have been into that. And then, you know, there's like, sometimes there's like a little bit of like it's a wild, wild country was that amazing, documentary about the OSHA cult. Mm-hmm. OSHA. Anyway, like there's also like an element of like Buddhism sometimes, like, you know, it's like, oh, and we're like living off the land. Like there's shit I could have gotten into. I think I would have been smart enough that when the cult leader was like just betting everybody and was just like, hey, let's fuck. I think I would have been like, you know what? Nah, I have enough cynicism about men that I would have been like, oh, fuck off, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to think I would be the same way.
Yeah. I mean, my dad really instilled that in me. That was a big my dad thing. Like, do not fucking trust these dudes. They just are, really? They're the worst. Oh, yeah. Oh, the worst. I mean, my dad's sex talk to me, which I don't know if I should say this over the air, but my dad's sex talk to me was, I don't care who he is. I don't care how much money he makes. I don't care what he does for a living. Every guy's going to want to get into your pants. And if you understand that, you're going to be okay. And if you don't, you're not. And that was it. That was the fucking talk. And like, I think that served me well, but like also made me like kind of afraid of sex and men. But I really had that in like, okay, like men are predators. Like my dad really, really, it was,
wow.
It was like a real thing for him that men were scumbags, men were predators. And I needed to wrap my head around that early.
I would have liked if someone said that to me. I say that now. I might not have.
I think, I mean, we've had this conversation off air. I mean, yeah, it's a mixed bag, right? Like, I'm very grateful to my father because he really did care enough to have that conversation with me. And it was very important to him that, you know, my safety and that I was hyper aware of my surroundings. That was really something that was just really important to him. And he took the time to have that conversation with me. What it did was it did have the effect of making me think that my only value was as a sex object.
Right.
And that men couldn't just like me and want to be around me, you know, and it made me very wary of men, but it did make me equally very tough and, you know, for the most part of my life, you know, self-protecting, which I don't know. I mean, the reality of the world is the reality of the world.
It is. I mean, I just think, you know, how lovely to have a father that cared that much.
My father did care that much. He absolutely did care that much. And, you know, you have to, like, I've been really looking at really thinking about all the good stuff lately. I've been really missing my parents and because I haven't seen them in a while because they're on the East Coast, whatever. And I've been really thinking about the good stuff. And, like, you know, you have to, it's good to think about the good stuff.
It's important. It's important. Yeah. It is. My mom and I had a little kerfuffle this week. And I was just like, Kim, let it go. Just let it go. What are you going to, you know, what are you going to gain by convincing your mother you're right? Nothing. How much is this 86-year-old woman going to change? 0%.
And what are you holding on to? It's just like, it's just time. The other thing that's been going on with me is I made a big decision this month that I'm tired of having enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just tired of having enemies. Like, I'm just like, this is not cool. This is not cute. This is not funny. This is not anything. Like, why do fucking, it makes me just look like an asshole. Why do I have enemies? Why do I have enemies at 50 years old? This is so stupid. And so I've been reaching out to people and trying to make amends with my enemies. Ah.
And how's that going?
It's going pretty good.
I mean, I have mixed feelings. There are people who don't like me and there's nothing I could say or do to make them like me. Like, there is no apology, or maybe apology already has been extended. You know, there are people who will just aren't going to like me. I know that.
Yes. 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 And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people who just don't like you.
You're talking about beef.
I'm talking about enemies and beef and places where, and we've had this conversation in the past, but like places where like your side of the street is not that clean. Like, you could do a better job cleaning it up.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there are people who have beef with me. There are people who have beef with me, and those are the people I'm talking about, who I know nothing I could say or do would change the situation. You know, but I also reached out to somebody, you know, not somebody who I thought of as an enemy, but somebody who had longstanding difficult end of a relationship. And I apologized, and that went well. But I mean, I think apologizing is incredibly underrated as a thing that people do.
I do too. And when it's right and it's got the right, it's got, you know, the right energy behind it, when it's just full ownership, when you're not really expecting anything, you know, I've just been trying. I think I've been like, I'm not like necessarily in like a 12 step or anything, you know, I'm not sober or anything, but I have been really trying to make amends. I think that's what it is. And also just trying to stop talking shit again.
Yeah.
Although talking shit is so fun sometimes.
Talking shit can be fun. I find that I feel a little gross afterward though.
Yes.
Like I ate too many Doritos.
Yes. Although I went out with that younger writer editor this week. I had lunch with that, right? And it was fun to validate for her, like some scumbag men. Or she was like, wait, is that guy a scumbag? And I was like, oh yes, that guy's a fucking scumbag. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm mostly, I think, talking about women because men, I just feel like are in a different, like, I don't know. I don't care to make amends with men because I feel like they just fuck up and they have enough.
Yeah. 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 There's somebody who I've thought for years I needed to make some kind of amends to, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
I'm just not gonna.
That's all right.
You know, and even in AA, I believe they say like if making amends is going to cause further harm.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Don't write that letter or whatever.
Totally, totally. Do not, if it will cause more harm, I don't fucking know. I obviously don't know what I'm doing in this life. I mean, I'm just like moving through it and I'm just trying to think about what is making me feel heavy? What feels old and unnecessary? Like what clothes am I wearing that feel too small, basically?
Right. And I think one good thing about reaching out to people and apologizing is that like it kind of stops mattering if you hear from them. That's not the point of the exercise.
Yes. Yeah, it's not.
The point of the exercise is to put it out there for them and expect nothing in return.
And the enemies thing is just like a thing in your own head. Like that's what I'm talking about. I just want to clean out these bad feelings. Like if I see somebody on Instagram, I'm like, oh, I feel bad about that person. I want that gone. And that's like an inside job.
Yeah. No.
You know? What else? What else is happening?
My brother's getting married tomorrow. When?
Tomorrow. Oh my God. Where?
He is getting married at a restaurant in Williamsburg.
Okay.
There is a dinner tonight. There is a brunch on Sunday. Like they're doing the whole.
Oh, wow. A whole lot.
They're doing the whole thing. And it's funny because my brother's a professional photographer and he's shot many, 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 many weddings over his career.
Yeah.
And I would think he'd kind of be over it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But they're doing the whole thing. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. There will be relatives. You know, our wedding was much smaller than the wedding he's having. And you know, so there will be relatives at it that I did not invite to our wedding.
Your wedding was just like a small gathering.
It was a cocktail party.
It was a cocktail party. What are you going to wear?
Well, I was going to buy something. Mm-hmm. I looked at a lot of dresses.
Mm-hmm. I saw some posts on the Kim Fran Substack.
Yes, I did a post on it. And then I just went through my closet. I shopped my closet. I'm going to wear a dress that I haven't worn in a while.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I was just like, I don't need to buy a dress. I don't need to buy another dress.
So when you think of an event and an outfit, and I love that, by the way, I have a couple of dresses in my closet that I've worn recently or like whatever, not recently, but when you have a fancy event, you're like, is there anything here? You know, but wait, okay. When you have a fancy event, do you style the whole thing? Are you like these shoes, this purse, these earrings, this makeup? Like, how do you do it? Cause I'm just wondering, I like to be like a paper doll.
I mean, I guess I do. I have an idea in my head before I've actually tried things on of what I think is going to work. And then depending on how far afield I am.
Yes. Yes. You know. You have to try it on. I have a lot of clutches for a person who doesn't fucking go anywhere. I collected a bunch of vintage clutches over there. I love them. I love looking at them. I love imagining what they're going to go with. And I always, that usually is my first place where I start when I'm thinking about an outfit. I'm like, ooh, what clutch would I like to carry? That's and then funny. Shoes I fucking hate. I hate fancy shoes. I hate heels. They're so impossible.
I know.
I hate them. Like, that's my last thing that I ever want to think about.
I get it. I feel the same way. I mean, I am going to wear heels both tonight and tomorrow night.
Wow. All right. It's a big commitment.
It is a big commitment. It is a big commitment, but I feel like they're my Maria Cornejo heels, and they're pretty, they're not comfortable because heels are never comfortable, but they're not bad.
Yeah. The heels I wore to your wedding, I got from Anthropologie. They're like a gold platform heel, and they're so beat up, but they're so comfortable, and they're like of heels, they're comfortable and they're not dowdy. And that's like, that feels like a fucking miracle. So I don't think we have any listener questions, but I had a question for you because it was something that came up for me this week that I was thinking about. What was the last thing that you were truly bad at?
Writing.
No, come on. Stop it.
Music.
Really?
Singing.
Recently?
I try to sing all the time. I love singing. I'm just terrible at it.
Wait, okay. Has Paul confirmed that you are bad at singing? Like, have you sung for him?
Oh, yes, all the time. I'm very bad at it.
Wait, has he said you're bad at this?
You can't not agree. Like, it's just like, people would question your hearing if you disagreed. I cannot sing at all.
Okay, but ostensibly, he could teach you to sing.
Yes, and I'd be like one of those people, and I could practice singing every single day, and I would be one of those people who reached a certain level of proficiency but had no natural talent to back it up.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, no, Paul calls my singing pitchy.
I'm surprised, though, because you like music so much.
I know, but I have no musical skill.
That's wild. I don't either. I have no musical skill. I realized the thing because I got a Google alert for myself a couple weeks ago, and I realized that I gave this speech on a stage at a conference last year that was so bad. I still can't believe that I did it. I had committed to giving this speech like way before the pandemic. And it was when I was still like talking about career stuff out in the world, you know, like, so that the topic was so dated. It was like 2 years old and it had been like already 3 years old. And, but they rebooked me because it had been canceled. It was in March 2020. I was supposed to give it. So they rebooked me and I had all the details of it wrong. I thought it was going to be like a small room and it was going to be a workshop. And it turned out it was a room of 300 people. I thought it was going to be a 25-minute workshop, and it turned out it was a 50-minute speech, and I found it out the night before after I had taken an edible. Okay, I didn't have the right fucking outfit for it. It is the ugliest picture of me. So I got this picture up. I had a bad haircut. I had an ugly dress on, and then I had to give a PowerPoint, which I also didn't know that was part of it, that there was a visual part of it. Now, part of this was because they had miscommunicated all of these details to me, but part of it was just me not paying attention because I had too much going on. Anyway, I stood up in front of an audience for 50 minutes giving a PowerPoint of like stock photos that made zero sense and just being like, so any questions? Like, it was so bad. I got paid. I can't believe I fucking did it. And I was shaking so much, like standing up to it. And like, usually when you are doing usually when you think that you're doing a bad job, you're doing an all right job. I truly did a bad job and stared out at an audience that was just like, what is this woman? What is this woman in this schmata with this terrible haircut and like these old lady glasses? Like, it was, what is she doing? And anyway, they didn't ever respond to me or ask me back, of course. But I was thinking just about like pure failure and just like living through like just a shit show. Just right. Like, this is it. This is all I got. Here's a picture of a bridge. Like, so I'll put that PowerPoint up on the Patreon so people can see the nightmare.
Hilarious.
Oh, it was so bad. I mean, I think we made a show.
I think we made a show. I do.
I do. I don't know if this is what the people want, but we did it. Thanks for listening to Everything Is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it on all the platforms, particularly Apple Podcasts. It really makes a difference. Also, subscribe. Helps people find us somehow. I don't know, the algorithm. If you want to support the production of the show and help us keep the lights on, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. We do live events there. We blog there. We put up bonus episodes there. It is quite fun. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at EIF Podcast. We also have a robust and private Facebook group. I know Facebook is bad, but you know, we're all on Instagram anyway. He's still getting the same money. We are on Twitter. We are on LinkedIn. You can find Kim on her new Substack, kimfrance.substack.com.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You can find me on tinyletter.com/JenniferRomolini, although I really have taken my entire show over to Patreon for the time being, because I don't know what my newsletter is supposed to be. Our show is mixed by the great Natalie Rivera. Natalie, we love you. Thank you. And we'll be back next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.